They take you from one place to another. The first one is Matthew. It takes you from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The second one is the book of Acts. It takes you from the nation of Israel to the church, where God is dealing. He was dealing with the nation of Israel, but then He changes. He sets the nation of Israel aside, and He begins to deal with the church. The reason being, the nation of Israel rejected His Son. He said, okay, you don't want my Son? You don't want my free salvation that I offer you? Okay, I'll just shove you aside for a couple of thousand years, and I'll deal with the Gentiles. And that's what He did. It's a transitional book. That's what's going on in the book of Acts. That's why people teach what our text verse today is Acts 2:38, which says this, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. People teach that for the plan of salvation today. It's not the plan of salvation for today. It's the plan of salvation for those people right there. But then God moves from that to the Gentiles, and He said, by grace are you saved through faith, and that's all. You cannot make those two the same. But people try to do that. They try, even Baptist churches, good people, they're pretty good people. They try to make it the same. It is not the same. The third book that is a transitional book is the book of Hebrews. It takes you from the church age to the tribulation period, you see. And so God moves along there, see. So we're in. I'm taking today Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38 as a text verse. We'll read some other verses to go along with that. I want to read you Peter's sermon, and it starts in verse number 22 of Acts chapter number 2. Acts 2 and verse number 22, Peter stands up and he begins to preach. Now, let's stop for a minute before we read. Last week, I gave you back in chapter 2 and verse 14 through 21, that's Peter quoting some verses from Joel chapter 2. He's quoting those verses, and he's saying that these things will come to pass at the second coming. But again, a lot of people teach that those things happened on the day of Pentecost. They didn't. They didn't. The moon didn't turn to blood on the day of Pentecost. That's not what happened. But it will happen at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So verse 14 to 21, Peter quotes those verses. And now then, he's going to preach his sermon beginning in verse 22. And he says, and by the way, take note of the first four words. O ye men of Israel. Take note of who he is speaking to. Ye men of Israel. That is who he's speaking to. Remember, Israel is Israel and we are the church. They're not the same. You don't mix them up. He's talking to Israel right here. God is still dealing with the nation of Israel. But they have so far rejected his Son. He's giving them another opportunity to be saved. But in the end, in chapter number 7, they will finally reject his Son and stone the messenger who is Stephen. Stephen the deacon. He is the messenger right there. And they stone him and kill him, throw him out. God says, okay, that's it for you folks. No more miracles in Jerusalem. I'm going to the Gentiles. He calls out the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul becomes the apostle to the Gentiles. That's you folks. That's you folks. That's why you got saved, because God shoved the Jews aside and said, I'm going to the Gentiles now. You see? See, God's original plan was this, to save all the Jews. And then he'd go to the Gentiles with the Jews, and they'd get saved that way. But the Jews didn't want it. And so God said, okay, I'll just go to the Gentiles right now. So he calls out the Apostle Paul. That's how you got saved, was because of Jesus Christ first, then the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul went out as a missionary and started churches, and those churches flourished and got people saved. It came right down to you, and you got saved, you see. And that's the book of Acts. Now see, the miracles and the signs and the wonders, they're here. But they are for the apostles. The apostles have the signs of an apostle. If you don't have those signs, you're not an apostle. They weren't everybody in the book of Acts didn't just go around and work a miracle here and work a miracle here and raise the dead. No, it's just the apostles or the convert of an apostle or somebody that calls an apostle, somebody that God called an apostle, you see. At the end of the book of Acts, That's the end of the Acts of the Apostles. That's the name of the book. That's the end of that. We don't raise the dead nowadays unless God wanted to, and I don't know of anybody like that. If people think they have the gifts of the apostles, then let's go down to the hospital and let's see if they do. You see, it ain't going to happen. I mean, I like that. I'm for healing and all that kind of stuff. My wife is homesick today. She's getting over pneumonia, but she's not over it yet. It's a slow process, you see. Prayer and faith is how you're healed today. Prayer and faith. That's how you're healed today. Prayer and faith. It's a slow process. It's not just instantaneous most of the time. It might happen occasionally, you see. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon these words today. May the Spirit of God help us and be our teacher and touch our hearts today, O God. Please help us, Father. God, please, we need you. We need your help, God. Please help us. Help me to preach, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this here, the Apostle Peter's message on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2:38, that will be our text verse, and then we'll get to that here as we read. Verse 22 of Acts chapter number 2, O ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved to God. I tried to preach to you on that text last week. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, and I gave you three reasons why he was approved of God. Number one was because of the miracles, wonders, and signs right there in that verse. Number two was because of the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It's found in verse number 23, the next verse. And number three, the third reason he was approved of God was because of the crucifixion, verse number 23. So he says in verse 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it." Remember, this is Peter preaching to a bunch of people out there from all kinds of different places. They're Jews. For David, verse 25, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope." David knew something about the resurrection. He said, "When I die, my flesh shall rest in hope." He said, "I have hope." He said he believed in the resurrection. Verse 27, "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." His soul in hell. He's talking about a place called Sheol there, down in the heart of the earth, which is a graveyard for souls. He said it won't stay there, but God's going to raise it up. "My soul and my body will be raised up. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One," that would be Jesus, "neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption," that would be his body, would not stay in the grave, see. Verse 28, that's David talking about these things. 1,000 years before they ever happened. Man, you think there's another book like this? You think there's another book that can tell what's going to happen 1,000 years in advance, in detail? In detail. Not vague stuff, but in detail. This is David speaking 1,000 years in advance that the body of Jesus Christ would not stay in the grave. It would not see corruption. It would not decay, you see. That's what you got in your hands there. That's what some of you don't ever read. That's what some of you never pay attention to. A miraculous book that tells you where you came from, where you're going, and how to get there. A manual for life, see. But there's some of it boring, and so people just set it aside. It's hard. It takes a whole lifetime. It takes a whole lifetime. Of looking at it and reading it. It takes a whole lifetime of praying and asking God, "God, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You see. Verse number 28. "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, as is Peter speaking now, that he's both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Sepulcher, you know, it's grave, a casket. Verse 30, therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, he's talking about David here. David is a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, had be the Davidic covenant, that of the fruit of his loins, that would be David's descendants, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. You see, Jesus Christ was a descendant of David through Mary. You have to be if you're going to be a king over Israel. You got to be from David. You got to be from King David. And Jesus Christ was through Mary. Verse 31, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ. David spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus, verse 32, hath God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. See, God has just sent the Holy Ghost back here in chapter number 2, verse 1 to 4. God has just sent the Holy Ghost to indwell all those people. And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this. In other words, this stuff that you're seeing, this stuff that you're going on, that's going on. He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Verse 34. And David is not ascended into the heavens. That is when he wrote that. But he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Now look at verse 36 again. Pay attention who he's talking to again. See, just like in verse number 22, he says this, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. You see, he's talking to the nation of Israel, the whole house of Israel. O ye men of Israel, that's who he's talking to. But yet we have churches today. Let me read it a little more before I start on something else. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, when they heard Peter's sermon, they heard that they'd crucified their Savior. They heard that they'd crucified their Messiah. When they heard this, when they heard that they had murdered Jesus Christ that God sent, they murdered him. For no reason, they crucified him, hanged him on a cross. When they heard this, what did they do? Did they say, what shall we do to be saved? Let's see what they said. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. You ever been pricked in your heart? You ever been pricked in your heart? That's where God takes a thorn, a stick, and he convicts you of what you're doing. He convicts you of what you're doing wrong. And he doesn't leave you alone. Whichever way you turn, see, it's almost like that hedge of thorns we're talking about this morning. But God is sticking you. Whichever way you turn, God sticks you. He won't let you go. He won't let you go. They were pricked in their heart. When Peter preached that, they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted. Why were they convicted? Because they killed their Savior. They killed their Messiah. They rejected him. They said, we don't want him. Hang him on a cross. Crucify him, see. And they were pricked in their heart because of that. Because Peter had just told them, God hath made this same man that you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And here you are standing here. You're a bunch of murderers. That's what he said. And then they pricked in their heart and they said, men and brethren, look at the verse 37. Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do about this? About the fact that we've killed our Messiah. What shall we do? Now, folks, some people, churches, you go right out here, right outside these doors, and go to almost any church in this town, and they're going to teach that Acts 2:38, they're going to teach that that's a plan of salvation for today. It is not. It's the plan for those people right there. He's talking to the men of Israel. That's the plan for them. He told them three things to do. Three things. Verse 37, let's read it again. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What should we do about this fact? Some people try to make that. There's another question in the Bible. There's another question in Acts 16:31, where the Philippian jailer, I'll talk about that later, he came stumbling out of the jail and he said, what must I do to be saved? People try to make that the same. Is that the same thing right there? What shall we do? Is that the same thing as saying, what must I do to be saved? Of course not. But people try to make it. I've heard them preach it. You see, I'm not going to rag on the Church of Christ today, but this is their verse, Acts 2:38. Their church is built on that verse right there. That's what they teach. Repent. Let's read what it says in verse 38. He says, repent. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, there's three things right there Peter told him to do. You killed your Messiah. Number one, I want you to repent. That's the title of my sermon today, Brother Joe. Repent. Peter said unto them, repent. That's number one. What are you supposed to repent of? He didn't say repent of your sins. Repent of all your sins. That's not what he said. You repent of the fact that you killed your Savior. You repent of that fact. You repent of murdering your Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. And then to show that you have repented, number two, get baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. We do not baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. We baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Why did he say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ is the Jewish Messiah. Be baptized in his name. Number one, repent of the fact that you killed your Savior, your Messiah. Number two, to show that you have repented, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Number three, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be baptized in water to get the Holy Ghost. You know what you have to do? You have to get saved. When you accept Jesus Christ by faith, you get the Holy Ghost. That's another sermon to tell you, to show you that you get the Holy Ghost before you ever get baptized in water. Does anybody in here ever think that you get the Holy Ghost when you get up there in the water? No, you don't. You don't do that. Wherever you got saved, like myself, I got saved at my house. I lived at 3006 30th Street in Lubbock, Texas, in June of 1970. And I was sitting there, and a preacher by the name of Brother Mayfield, T.H. Mayfield. And he asked me, he told me about the Lord, and he asked me, would you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? And I said, yes. I took his hand. And the Spirit of God came into my heart right there before I ever got baptized two or three weeks later in the Tabernacle Baptist Church on 34th Street. I didn't have to go get baptized in order to get the gift of the Holy Ghost, you see. You see, that's for these people. That's for these Jews. Oh, you men of Israel. Oh, you house of Israel. Those people, for then, but not for now. Now then, you're saved by grace through faith. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. They're not the same. What do you see in that verse there, Acts 2:38? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the Holy Ghost, gift of the Holy Ghost. Do you see anything about there and about believing on Jesus? Do you see anything in there about regeneration? Do you see anything in there about justification? Do you see anything about there, anything even about being saved? Do you see anything in there about that? Then why does the whole world teach that that's the plan of salvation? I guarantee you can go to almost 100% of the churches in this town will tell you that. You see. That's not even my sermon, but this is not the plan of salvation for today. Let me read that for you, and then I've got to go on. He said in verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent. That's number one. Number two, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's number two, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. As I said, you don't get baptized to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, it's a transitional book. That's for these Jews. Now then, later on, he's going to the Gentiles, And it's all going to be by faith alone in Jesus Christ. You must believe the gospel. Let me ask you, do you believe the gospel today? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died, that you're a sinner, that you were lost? You may not be lost today, but at one time you were lost. You're lost in your sins. And you've heard that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, that He was buried and raised from the dead, and that He's alive right now. That's the gospel, that Christ died for you, is buried and raised from the dead. You believe that? And then will you accept Him, Jesus Christ, as your Savior? If you do that, then you're saved. You have eternal life, see. That's not Acts 2:38, is it? And not the same thing. Okay, so we got past that. Now let's just take one word here. Let's take one word. And that one word where Peter said unto them, repent. Let's take that one word, repent. I'm going to give you 2 points on it. Listen carefully. Look up here before you read anything. Repent. Point number one, there is repentance for the unsaved. In other words, repentance in order to get saved. You have to repent, of course. But then number two, my second point will be this. There is repentance after you get saved for the saved. Those two things, what I want to talk to you about. So number one, repent. The word repent. The word repent has several meanings, but mainly it means to have a change of mind. Take your Bibles there and turn it over to Ephesians chapter number 2. Chapter number 1. And look at verse number, it'd be verse number 13 and 14. Or 12 and 13 and 14. All right, Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 12. Here's Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. He's speaking to these people. He's speaking to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 12, he said that we should be the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. That's what I was just telling you. Look up here. To trust in Jesus Christ. Him only for your salvation, not in your baptism. Trust in Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross. That is salvation. So he says there that we should be the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. See? Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So let's go on here. I'm talking to you about repentance for the unsaved. Repentance in order for you to get saved. Here's what it is. I'm not talking to you about repenting from individual sins, but you are to repent or you're to turn from your unbelief. You're to turn from your unbelief and turn to Jesus Christ and accept Him as the one who died in your place for your sins. Let's think for a minute an illustration. In Acts chapter number 16 that I mentioned a while ago, the Apostle Paul is on his first or second missionary. He's on his first missionary. His second missionary. Paul, and he has with him Silas and maybe Luke and some others. He went to this place called Philippi. And he went to this place called Philippi, and he did certain things there. And as a result of what he did, he cast the devil out of a young girl there. And so the magistrates, the leaders of the city, they caught him and they beat him on his back, and he was beaten bloody. Him and Silas. And the Bible says there in the city of Philippi, it's where you get the book of Philippians, the church that was started there. Him and Silas were thrown in jail. They were thrown, the Bible says, in the inner prison, down in the bottom there, in the lowest part of the prison there, for safekeeping. And they put them in their stocks. They locked their hands and they locked their feet in the stocks. And the Bible says there, I believe it's about verse number, Acts chapter 16 and verse number 25, at midnight. Think, what would you be doing at midnight? Most of us would be sleeping. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises to God. And the Bible says there that the prisoners heard them. They're singing and they're praying at midnight, and the prisoners heard them. And the Bible says there all of a sudden there was a great earthquake, A great earthquake and all the prison doors were opened. A great earthquake, dust everywhere, rocks falling, things flying around, an earthquake, and the prison doors fly open. And all of their bands were loose, the Bible says. Their bands were loose. They get up. They get up out of the prison. Paul and Silas, they come stumbling out, and the prisoners are with them. The prisoners, by the way, don't run off. Why do they not run off? Because they've been hearing Paul and Silas preaching. And they've been captivated by what Paul and Silas have been doing. They've been singing and praying and thanking God with blood running down their backs because of Paul and Silas. They've been captivated by this. So when the earthquake happens, they don't even leave. They could have run off. But there's a jailer there. There's a Philippian jailer. He's a Gentile. He's not a Jew. And Paul and Silas, they come out of the prison. And this guy, this jailer, he gets up off of his face and he comes out and he meets Paul and Silas. And he's been hearing them preaching in there. And so he says himself these famous words. What must I do to be saved? And what did they say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. No, he didn't say that. No, they didn't say that. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Amen. And don't you let people twist that around and make that Acts 2:38. Because it ain't Acts 2:38. Then the Bible says, he spake unto them the word of the Lord. And then he went that night and baptized that man and all of his house. All of his house got baptized. That's how the church at Philippi got started, and that's why you got the book of Philippians in your Bible. What do? You repent to get saved. But you don't repent and say, God, I repent of drinking. No, you don't repent of a bunch of individual sins. You repent of your unbelief. And the way you're going away from God. Turn around. Stop it. Stop going away from God and turn around. Amen. You repent of your unbelief and you turn to Jesus. Now that's repentance for salvation. But then number two, after you get saved. Now here's what people accuse us of. They accuse us Baptists of saying, well, if I just believe like y'all did, why just go out and do anything I wanted to? Well, they do anyway. They do whatever they want to anyway. No, we do not teach that you just go ahead and live in your sins. We don't teach that at all. That's the second point. Whenever you get saved, then you are to repent of your sins. The things that you're doing, stop it. If they're displeasing to God, stop it. Amen. Repent, turn away from those things. If you're smoking cigarettes, stop it. If you're drinking liquor, stop it. Stop that. Because it'll kill you, that's why. Amen. It'll destroy you, that's why. Amen. Don't let them little old white things destroy your life. You mean to tell me a little old thing 3 or 4 inches long, white, that costs $5, $6, $7 a day, you're going to waste all your money on that stuff? If you're smoking pot, then stop it. Amen. Repent of that stuff, see. You repent of those sins. Whatever else they got going on nowadays, see. God doesn't want you to destroy your life. If you're a fornicator, stop it. Amen. If you're an adulterer, stop it. Amen. Quit that. If you're a homosexual, stop that. Amen. That's evil. Amen. That's evil. Quit it. See. Did you know there's one word that I mentioned there that is destroying our country? Fornication causes more problems in this country. You can go up and down the streets out here. People are just living together. Man, it's evil, fornicating. God, the Bible says, marriage is honorable and all. But God will judge fornicators. What does he call them? Whoremongers and all that kind of stuff. People better stop that stuff. That's destroying our country. You multiply that by 50 million people all over the world, but you're supposed to repent of that stuff. Not just the bad things, not just these things right here, see. Just think all the things that are going on. See, look, you can't repent of all of your sins before you get saved. You don't even know what they all are. Do you know you didn't even know what sin was before you got saved? You didn't know anything about pride. You know, did you know you were a prideful person before you got saved? You didn't know anything about that. But now when you get saved, you hear about those things and you stop those things. Quit doing them. See, quit it. Stop it. God will judge you. God will bring chastisement against you. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth." That sounds bad to me. I don't want no scourging. I think I've had some. I think I've had some scourging. I don't want any more of it. See, God loveth, he chastens those who are his. Just like any sensible parent will chasten their children. If you don't, you're going to have a problem. I guarantee you. You better obey the Bible. See, you better obey the Bible. Oh, I just love them too much. I couldn't spank them. Well, I know it's too late for some of you. Too late for some of you. But for those of you who it's not too late, you better obey the Bible. You see, you better not thumb your nose at God. You better not thumb your nose at God's book. That goes for a lot of things. Brother, it'll come back. You're going to reap, all of us are going to reap what we sow. You see, I showed the folks in Sunday school. You'd learn something if you'd come to Sunday school. The law of sowing and reaping. You always reap what you sow, more than you sow, later than you sow. See? And so, here's the problems. Here's the problem. Most Christians are weak and anemic because of sin that they never repent of. Let me tell you about two people real quickly. Number one is David. David was just like us. He just like me, just like you. He had weaknesses. As Jeff, we've used him for illustrations often, but one day he didn't go to battle when he should have went to battle. He looked down and he saw a beautiful woman. He sent a servant to go get her. I want her. He shouldn't have never done that. He should have went to work. He should have went out to battle. And he didn't do it. And he brought that woman, and he lay with her. And brother, let me tell you something. When you hop in bed with somebody that you ought not to, you're in big trouble. That's right. It's going to bring trouble to your life. It will bring trouble to your life. You quit it. David brought that woman. She had a child. But here's the thing. David repented of that sin. But he had to reap for it. He reaped for it. But God did forgive him. And he was able to be a king over Israel for 40 years. 40 years. But then on the other hand, there's another guy in the book of Judges, chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, named Samson. Samson also had a weakness for women. He had a weakness for women. He did all kinds of evil things. He fornicated with them. He did all kinds of stuff. He finally lost his freedom. You know why? Because he never repented. He never repented. They put him in jail. They poked out his eyes with hot pokers. He was blind. He was in jail. He was pushing this thing around like an oxen, like this, grinding the corn. And he never repented. He finally said this, "Oh God," he said, "God, restore my eyes, not restore my eyesight, but restore." He lost his strength, lost his family, lost his judgeship. He's a judge in Israel. He lost all of that stuff, but he finally said, "Oh God, let me be avenged of my two eyes." And you know the story, how they put him in there, and he put him between these two posts that held up this giant Colosseum. And he said, "Oh God, restore my strength one more time." And he was the most powerful man that ever lived physically. And he pushed it down, and 3,000 people were killed. Here's the thing: he never repented of his ways. He only got to judge Israel 20 years. He could have judged Israel 40 years, just like David was a king for 40 years. You know why? He didn't repent. Christians are weak and anemic because of sin that they never confess and forsake. You see, They are weak and anemic. They couldn't get a prayer answered if they had to. They couldn't pray. They can't pray. They've got too much sin in their life, you see. Too much sin in their life. Here's what the Bible said. Let me give you a scripture. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, and it says this. Listen carefully. You ought to memorize this verse. It says this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save." Well, we know God can save. His hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. Yes, we know, God, you can hear. But why does he not? Why does he not hear us? Why does he not save? The answer comes in verse number 2. He said, because your iniquities have hid his face from you. Your sins have turned his face away from you, that he will not hear. Said he won't hear. Why? Because of your sins and your iniquities. I'm talking about people who are saved. I'm talking about Christians. They're weak and they are anemic because of the sin. They never repent. They never repent of those sins, you see. They do not see themselves as being that bad. That bad. There are some things in the Bible. Well, here's maybe what some Christians' their problem is. It's by Judas Iscariot in Matthew chapter 27, verse 3 to 5. Judas Iscariot, the Bible says, he repented himself. Isn't that good enough? He repented himself. See, it has nothing to do with God. He didn't repent towards God. He repented himself. He's just sorry that he did the wrong thing. He went out and hanged himself, and he went to his own place, the Bible says. He went to hell. Judas Iscariot is down in hell after following Jesus Christ for 3.5 years and seeing him work the miracles. He's down in hell. Judas Iscariot did not get saved and lose it. No, he never got saved. He never called Jesus Christ the Lord. He didn't believe that he was the Lord. He repented himself. That's what some people do. They got caught, but they never talked to God, and they never smote their breast and say like the guy did in the verse, I think it's in the book of Luke, where he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, you say that often and name the sins, you see. Name the sins in the Bible. Let me show you repentance in the Bible. No, let me see. That's for salvation. Anyway, you cannot get rid of all your sins before you're saved, but God expects us to after we are saved. Repent. Stop it. Stop doing those things and live right for God. I'll give you one more simple point here. There's repentance also. God can repent. God can repent. I'm not going to go into this very much because I've showed you this before, but let me just... go to one verse. God repented in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. God repented in Jonah chapter number 3. Let's go over to Exodus, the second book in the Bible, chapter number 32. Exodus chapter number 32 and verse number 11. Exodus chapter number 32, and look in verse number... I think we better back up to verse number 7, Exodus 32 and verse number 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. You know, that's when Moses been up on the mount, and he got the Ten Commandments, and I believe the second time, or maybe it's the first time, I'm not positive right now, I think it's the first time, second time I mean. He said in verse number 8, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, now look at this. This is God talking to Moses. Now therefore, God, you see, God is furious. He's angry. Verse number 10, now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Verse number 11, now then, Moses speaks to God. This is what you call intercession. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring us out, to slay them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth? This is Moses speaking. Look, he says, turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Verse 13, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they will inherit it. Look what it says in verse 14, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. You know what he did? He turned away from it. What he was about to do, he changed his mind. That's repentance. Repentance to be saved is to change your mind that you're lost and you're a sinner and Jesus Christ is your only hope and you turn to him. That's repentance for salvation. But then after you get saved, you need to repent of the evil things that are in your life, you see. You repent of those evil things. If a person is not saved, you can be saved. Repent of the evil things. All of us have things in our life we need to repent. You need to examine yourself daily. Daily. God, help me. God, forgive me of these things. That's what God put in the Bible, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we come to thy throne of grace in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you, God, for being so good to us, so kind, God, so merciful, so long-suffering. God, thank you for putting up with us. God, thank you for being mindful of us. God, you don't even have to be mindful of us. God, I know you don't need us. You can do anything you want to without us if you wanted to. But God, thank you, God, that you've allowed us to live. God, let us. I pray for these people. God, I pray in their behalf. God, let us be your servants. God, let us be thy faithful servants. God, help us to repent of the evil things that are in our life, God. God, touch our hearts, God. Help us, God, to get serious with God. Help us, Father. Bless your people, I pray. If there happens to be one here who is unsaved or unsure, please help them. Help me to talk to them, Father. Please, God, bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen.